This is Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre.
What is up, Straight Fire fam? It's me, Jason McIntyre, Straight Fire. Friday, September 24th. Kind of a snoozer on the Thursday Night Football front. Not exactly the Washington Giants thriller from a week ago. I got to plead, be honest with you guys. You know I like to keep it real. We had, I don't want to say a day from hell because that's exaggerating. These are first world problems. But the power was out on our block all day Thursday. And apparently they told some of our neighbors via email, but not us. So power goes out. I'm like, what the hell? So then I had to basically go to my gym, which is like kind of one of these frou-frou LA gyms where there's like a cafeteria and like it's like a hangout place and all this stuff. So I was posted up at the gym all day and like we didn't get power back till like 6:30. So I'm watching the game on my phone, shuttling the kids to soccer practice. So I missed the Christian McCaffrey injury. Obviously that stunk big time. Especially if you have been fantasy like my son does. But I started Robbie Anderson in two leagues and Robbie Anderson did absolutely nothing. I joked on social media that like, did Robbie Anderson hit on Sam Darnold's girlfriend or something? Because he got two targets the entire game. And every time Sam Darnold dropped back, he was just looking for DJ Moore. DJ Moore, of course, had a monster game and the Panthers rolled to 3-0 against the spread. Covering, and I mean, like, I know it was moderately close at halftime, 7-6, but, I mean, listen to these numbers from the box score. First downs, 28-14, Carolina. Total yards, 193 for Houston, 407. Yards per play, 3.9 for Davis Mills, 5.8 for Sammy D. Darnold, by the way, two rushing touchdowns, more fantasy news you don't care about. I picked up Darnold in fantasy, thinking maybe I start him. And I didn't start him, and he had 25 points. The Texans got in the red zone once. Like, it wasn't a close game. It wasn't a fun game. The McCaffrey injury stinks. I don't totally know what to make of the Panthers. The offensive line looked very spotty. And their game against the Cowboys next week is super interesting. Because if Dallas can contain this pass rush that Carolina has, Carolina's front is strong. I think that Dallas and Dak will have a lot of success, and it would not surprise me if Darnold, in his first big spot, I didn't think the Saints one was a big spot. I think this Cowboys game's a big spot. There's a chance Darnold in the spotlight struggles. If there's no McCaffrey, I can see Dallas putting it on him and Carolina losing badly. But that's a week away. I don't want to get too ahead of myself. We have a lengthy best bet segment coming up. A lot of college and NFL picks. But first, I you know, we tried to avoid it all week because this is football time. But I want to quickly talk about something in the NBA. Just quick, we'll get back to football in a second. So, you know, every time we're getting ready to record the pod, I ask Rob G, what was the Odd Couple focusing on? And one of the topics he said that they talked about yesterday was Kyrie Irving not vaccinated. No, this is not going to be a COVID discussion. I remember seeing the whole Kyrie for Ben Simmons trade thing this week. And I was like, that's interesting. I personally think that's a great idea for the Nets. They've got James Harden. What do they need Kyrie for? And I wondered, like, is there something there? So, and I hope I'm not revealing too much. While I'm at my gym Thursday doing my work, I brought my computer. I'm sitting there and I see this, you know, obviously NBA player in the vicinity. And I'm like, this guy looks so familiar. I couldn't place him. So I checked the Clippers roster. Not a Clipper. Checked the Lakers roster. Wait a minute. Is that Wes Matthews? But he's not actually on the Lakers. So it was Wes Matthews. So I texted an NBA trainer who works at the gym. Hey, man, I just saw Wes Matthews out here. You coming up here today? He's like, I am coming up there. I'll see you later. So this guy comes up and I say, what is all this Kyrie Ben Simmons talk? Said, nothing that I'm aware of. I was just with Kyrie and Kevin Durant. I guess Kyrie and Kevin Durant have been hanging out for a while out here in LA. Kyrie's been out here for, I don't know, a month, 2 months. Kyrie working out at the Mamba Academy. And another guy who's like kind of basketball famous on the gram. He goes by Devin in the Lab. It's funny. I'm at my gym, I don't know, 2 years ago. And I see this guy working out with another guy, and then he has like a camera guy, and I'm like, oh, okay. So I just start shooting. And I hadn't followed the guy or heard of him. And his partner sees me and is like, oh, yeah, I seen you talking about it. I was like, oh, okay, yeah. So we start talking, and then I look up this guy, and I see he's got like 400,000 followers. I'm like, oh, my gosh. So we become friends. Turns out this guy's now doing some stuff with Kyrie Irving. And I have not talked to him about that. But it sounds like, according to my other guy, this Kyrie Irving, Ben Simmons stuff, there's zero to it. Like nothing, like less than nothing. Now, where did it originate? Rob G says that by all accounts, and Rob G, feel free to jump in if I'm wrong, it originated with Stephen A, who either let it slip or was hypothesizing. How would you phrase it, Rob? What did Stephen A do? Was he just floating a rumor, chatter? Like what?
No, it seemed like he was just talking about the Ben Simmons situation. That's what he was focusing on. And then he said, you know, Brooklyn would trade Kyrie for Ben Simmons today if Kevin Durant gave him the okay. They would do it. And then obviously they rent, you know, the media goes crazy. Hey, what's this? Kyrie and Ben Simmons swapping discussed, blah, blah, blah. And then he has to come back and the next day and say, look, I never said that they discussed it. I never said that there was an offer made. I said that they would do it if it was available. No, and that's how it kind of blew over.
Okay. So it just so happens that yesterday someone had texted me, hey, did you see how bad Stephen A. Smith's show is struggling? I was like, no, I don't watch it. I didn't know. So according to the numbers, Get Up on one day this week almost beat First Take in the ratings. That's never happened. Almost beat them. It was, according to this person who sent me these numbers, 327K to 314K. So Get Up rising, First Take falling. And I'm not going into a diatribe. I'm not ripping ESPN, not ripping Stephen A. This is just, this is what's happening. So Get Up is geared toward heavy football and college football. They ain't doing no NBA. Not right now. Not during football season. This is like 97% NFL. What do fans want during September? NFL. I know basketball camps open next week and all that media day stuff's coming up. Grand scheme of things, it don't matter. It's NFL season. Stephen A is not a voice you turn to for the NFL. He's an NBA guy. His numbers are going down. What do you do if you see your numbers sagging? You just kicked your co-host Max Kellerman to the curb. What do you do, Rob? Oh, I don't know. Maybe you float some total ludicrous, insanely dumb NBA rumor to get people talking and win social media. Now, I didn't run this theory by you, Rob. You may think this is total poppycock. Underused word, by the way. But now that I'm adding it all up, my guy was with Kyrie and Kevin Durant at the Mamba Academy. There's no issues. The Ben Simmons stuff, there's nothing there. Why is Stephen A. floating it? Oh, would you look at that? His ratings are sagging significantly. And Get Up, and you know that they're going to do a victory lap when they beat First Take. And again, I don't think the ratings matter as much as they did like, what, 10, 15 years ago? I just don't think people care or pay attention to them as much. Now, Rob, that might just be me, but do you think people talk about ratings of TV shows the way they did 5, 10 years ago?
I think people only talk about it when it fits their narrative. You know, I don't think that most people are going to talk about the First Take ratings, considering it is still, you know, the number one morning show for sports. You know, it's not, I think PTI is number one overall, but, you know, I've never been a big fan of, this is nothing against you, but anybody working at FS1 and CBS Sports and NBC Sports taking cracks at ESPN's ratings, considering we could add all of the other ones up together and they wouldn't equal ESPN's ratings. So yeah, well, it's just not, it's not something that I think would be fair to discuss, because you know, it's, if we want to be, if we want to be real about it, then there's no reason why anybody should be talking about ESPN's ratings.
It's like they had a head start from like 1980. FS1's been around.
That's fine. But it's like,
I think that's why it's not even close. I mean, CBS Sports Network, I don't even know if they register on like the scale of ratings. That's how new they are. And frankly, I mean, Rob, how many people do you talk to in the industry now that are streaming everything? And they don't even have cable anymore. I mean, if you're just streaming everything and watching it on streaming, I don't even think any of that counts toward the ratings.
Yeah, I don't know how that works yet. I don't know if they've figured out a way to rate it. I know that they claim to when it comes to like live sporting events. They say, hey, we had 22 million on live TV and 4.5 million on streaming. I don't know if that's legitimate or not. I don't know how you can juice those numbers.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. So I was watching on my phone some of the NFL Network game because we didn't have power at home. Does that count as a stream? How much was I watching? I don't know. I probably saw 10 plays, 12 plays on my phone. And then come third quarter, cable comes back on. I know I'm one of the weird holdovers who still has cable. And you know how I know this, Rob? Because during Sunday NFL, a lot of people are watching streaming or only Red Zone or whatever. So a massive play will happen. I'll jump online and be like, oh my gosh, that was an insane blah, blah, blah. And then I'll look and there'll be nothing for like 5, 6, 7, 10 seconds. And then because of the streaming delay, then everyone comes. Yep. And occasionally I'll be getting messages from people, dude, why are you ruining it for me? I didn't know that was going to happen. I was like, what are you talking about? It's live sports. It's not my fault you're streaming in behind.
If anybody listens to The Odd Couple, the Fox Sports radio show that I produced weeknights, shameless plug, you have heard countless times we'll be having a live sporting event happening because we're on smack dab in the middle of Monday Night Football, Thursday Night Football, primetime NBA game, whatever it is, you know, we're on. And in the studio and Rob Parker, we have cable. Chris Broussard streams everything. So he is a full like 45 seconds behind.
Wow.
Everything that's happening. So he'll be watching something on his TV while he's talking. Oh, by the way, big catch right there by DJ Moore. It's like, oh, well, that catch was about a minute ago, Chris. You know, they've already ran another play since then.
Oh, man. Yeah, it messes so many things up. And in the NBA, because it's so quick, things happen so fast. Any delay really, really hurts. I mean, I don't know. Now we're going way down the rabbit hole. But bottom line, I just think absolutely nothing of the Kyrie Irving Ben Simmons swap. Now, of course, I'm sure, you know, something goes down tomorrow, I'll look like a jackass. But according to my guy who was with them, now apparently KD is gone. He left LA. Kyrie is still out here. There was some other stuff said that I'm not going to repeat on the podcast about Kyrie Irving. I'm just not going to get into it now, but we'll see what happens during the season. We'll leave it at that.
Can I just say that Stephen A. stole my take because I floated out the Ben Simmons for Kyrie Irving trade back in June when I filled in for you, me and Gavin Kinzel.
Well, I'm sure
he heard and he stole the take, everything. Man. That's what happens.
Yeah, yeah, no doubt about it. Hey, it happens to the best of us, right? quick thought, Rob G. What is your interest level in NBA starting next week? How do you turn off football and then go to NBA? Because usually it's just like the first couple games, right? Like a Tuesday night NBA usually starts on Tuesday or Thursday, right?
Yes.
Because they're not going to start on Monday. You're not going to start on the weekend, right?
Right. Let me just say, I'm sure it's different for every basketball fan because unless you're a fan of like the Lakers, the Nets, what would have been the Clippers, I guess. Like the teams that are legitimate contenders, do you really care at this point right now? Because even me as a diehard Laker fan, I'm very excited for like the opening week because I think they play the Warriors one of those games. And so they should be a nice test to see how they look early on with this whole new roster. After that, I'm probably not tuning in like tight until Christmas. You know, there's just no reason to be that locked in considering how long the season is. We learned last season that the regular season means absolutely nothing because come playoff time, anything can happen. It changes week to week, game to game, day to day, quarter to quarter. And as you mentioned, football is king. And we are in a business where we have to worry about ratings and making sure that we're talking about what people want to hear about. So 99.9% of the content is going to be football related. Yeah. Unless it's like a riddle of the week Wednesday or something like that.
I will float one other quick NBA thing that my guy mentioned, and he's going to remain anonymous, although I have invited him to come on the pod, and he's just like, man, I can't. And I think he knows a few too many people to come out on here and say what he really thinks. But he did say, keep an eye on the Warriors in this Andrew Wiggins situation. Andrew Wiggins has said he will not get vaccinated. He may be forced to get vaccinated. I don't know how it's going to be with the travel and the testing. And, you know, a lot of the league is vaccinated. Now, Rob said that Kyrie reportedly is not vaccinated. A lot of people have sent me Instagram DMs. Oh, LeBron's not vaccinated. Why don't you take shots? That's unconfirmed. And by the way, Brian Windhorst said months ago that he has heard that LeBron is vaccinated. But I don't really care on a case-by-case basis who is and who isn't. If it's a quarterback, that matters. You know, Andrew Wiggins, a little less so. That being said, would you try to trade Andrew Wiggins, Rob G, to Sacramento and get Harrison Barnes back? Do you think Harrison Barnes would be a better fit in Golden State than Andrew Wiggins?
Fit, I think they'd be pretty much the same, but the reason why the Andrew Wiggins thing is even a story and the Kyrie thing is a story, shout out to Yaron Weitzman, who's been on the show a couple, yes, at least once, now writes for Fox Sports. The reason why that's a story is because the local laws, I guess, in San Francisco and in New York say that you have to be vaccinated. So if Andrew Wiggins is not vaccinated and Kyrie Irving is not vaccinated, they are not allowed to play their home games for their team. They're not even allowed to practice with their team. Okay. So if I'm Golden State and the difference between Andrew Wiggins and Harrison Barnes, I'm saying it's negligible at this point as who they are as players, I 1000% make that trade because at least I know I'm going to have that guy for the other 41 home games of the season plus playoffs.
And maybe the Sacramento laws are not as stringent as the Bay Area ones, right?
Exactly. So far, the only ones that we know confirmed that have those, I mean, there might be more coming. You know, LA might have something similar eventually because LA is usually pretty conservative with that kind of stuff. But yeah. San Francisco and the state of New York. So the Knicks, the Nets, and the Warriors. I think maybe that could be another reason why Stephen A. may have floated that Kyrie trade rumor is they know that he's not vaccinated. Or allegedly, I can't say that he is for sure, but maybe that they also think that he's not vaccinated. And with what they're competing for, and they're not just an also-ran, they're not just trying to sell tickets, they're trying to win games. And,
yeah,
you know, when it comes down to that, you got to be willing to make some tough decisions.
Interesting situation. By the way, yeah, I can't. We're going to talk about it a little bit in the best bet, but Seahawks Vikings. If Minnesota loses, goes 0-3, Zimmer, clearly hot seat. Kirk Cousins, the vaccination, the locker room, a lot of stuff percolating. This is a big game for the Vikings. Huge. All right, with that, let's get to the best bet here on Straight Fire.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live. The only thing better than sitting on your couch watching the game is making money while you do it. Here's your best bet.
All right, it's time for the best bet here on Straight Fire. Let's start with college. Really like the college card this week. Winning week in week one, losing week in week two, winning week in week three. Let's go big or go home this weekend. The world seems to be on Wisconsin. I don't know, guys. I don't see it. Maybe it's because I took Wisconsin in the opener and they let me down against Penn State, but Notre Dame is way more battle-tested. I know they have the injuries. Neutral site game. I would assume the crowd leans Notre Dame in Chicago at Soldier Field. I took the points with the Irish 6, went up to 6.5, so going the wrong way on me. Brian Kelly is an underdog, 16-9 against the spread in the regular season. Obviously, not going to count bowl games there. I see a low scoring game. I don't believe in Wisconsin, which doesn't have a touchdown pass this season through two games. So I took Notre Dame getting 6. That's not one of my big ones. The two that I really like, Oklahoma favored by 16.5, coming off the sloppy look against Nebraska. A lot of people, Oklahoma's just not that good. Let's not overreact. Rivalry game. Nebraska played up to their level. Oklahoma didn't show well. And they get West Virginia. Now, what happened to West Virginia last week? Oh, they beat Virginia Tech. Huge rivalry game. As someone who went to Virginia Tech, someone who grew up in Northern Virginia, I know very well that Virginia Tech and West Virginia do not like each other. Like the students from each school think one is better than the other. There's a rivalry there. So that game meant a ton. There is going to be a come down for West Virginia, which now has to travel to Oklahoma. They're going to get destroyed. The line was 19.5. It's come down to 16.5. I love it at that. I would still like it at 17, but 16.5 is a great number. Oklahoma puts it on them here. It feels like a smash spot for the Sooners, who have just crushed them in this series. And I also like Michigan. It's weird. Michigan's playing Rutgers. Michigan is favored by 20. Rutgers is 3-0. And you're like, well, wait, Big Ten matchup, undefeated teams, why are they favored by 20? And then you look closer and you're like, oh, Rutgers has beat nobody. And, oh, geez, Rutgers basically has benefited from bad teams turning the ball over. Rutgers hasn't turned it over yet. Their opponents, 8 turnovers. They're just handing the ball to Rutgers. And then the big one, I don't know, you really have to be following closely the gambling to see this. A couple of Rutgers players were arrested over a paintball incident this week, and one of them just happens to be their top cornerback, who has 2 picks, a block punt, and a fumble recovery this season. So he's suspended, and it's nothing looks good here for Rutgers. I like Michigan at home to cover 20. So Michigan and Oklahoma are my favorite. I wouldn't recommend teasing them down, but I definitely like them. I had liked Michigan State a lot, favored by 4.5 against Nebraska. I'm not loving that as much as the others. And I took a flyer on Tennessee, Florida, under 63.5. Bit of a rivalry game. I think Tennessee might be better than we thought. We know Florida played well and hard last week, coming back from down 21-3 to push Bama. So I think that one is a little close, as Florida, you know, a bit of a letdown after losing to Bama and expending all that energy in coming back. I think they start slow. I would look at a first half Tennessee maybe, but under 63.5. Those are for college. In the NFL, I have not finalized my picks for the Circa contest, but without a doubt, I'll be shocked if I don't land on the Miami Dolphins. Yes, Dolphins fans who love to listen to this podcast and get on my case for blasting Tua. I like Miami with Jacoby Brissett getting 4 in Vegas. I'm not a believer in this Raiders team. I went against them against the Ravens in the opener. That one hurt. Should have been a cover. Ravens had that. They fumbled the 4th. They fumbled in overtime. I liked them in that spot. Then I went against Raiders in Pittsburgh, and they got super lucky because TJ Watt goes down, a defensive lineman goes down, and Vegas rolled. I like Miami here. I don't think this line should be 4. I think by game day, we'll see it down to 3. So I took 4 with Miami. I definitely am on Tampa Bay in the marquee game of the day against the Rams. You guys know I really like the Rams a lot this year. I just don't like them in this spot. The defense still has a lot to work on. I mean, seriously, guys, this is a Rams defense that got run on basically by Carson Wentz up and down the field. And, you know, if you look real close, yeah, I know they crushed the Bears, but look closely. Like, Andy Dalton moved the football on them. And Tom Brady and this Bucs offense is way better than Andy Dalton / Justin Fields and Carson Wentz. And it's not even close. Those two are probably bottom 12 quarterbacks in the league. Brady's top 5. You could say Brady's the MVP leader. He comes in with Gronk and Evans. And even though Antonio Brown is out, you know, they'll just plug in one of their other guys. I mean, they're so deep at receiver. I like the Bucs a lot. I'm looking at the Bucs team total. I think it'll probably be 27.5, 28. I'll take the Bucs on the money line. I don't know how this isn't higher than I got them at +1. It's now -1. I still like that. -1.5. They're gonna win this game. I like Tampa. I kind of like Washington. I'm not 100% sold on Washington yet. I like Atlanta at 4 and 3.5. Nobody else likes Atlanta. Danny Dimes, this is fun. So Fox will dig up any stats that I like. Hey, Daniel Dimes, I know he plays really good on the road like last week against Washington, but he kind of poops his pants all the time at home. 4-10 against the spread at home, 10-4 against the spread on the road. For whatever reason, in New York, Danny Dimes is not performing well, and I think Atlanta can hang tough. Remember, listen, they were right there with Tampa last week, moving the ball. I don't think Atlanta's necessarily going to win this game, but there is a path to success for them, and they've got some offense. They've got as good a skill position players as the Giants, and it's not like the Giants are ever 100% anywhere. So I took Atlanta and the points. I think the obvious teaser is Arizona 7 down to 0 or down to 1. Cleveland 7 also down to 0 or 1. The only problem with backing those two teams at, you know, their full spread is there's a history of 0-2 teams in week 3, and they like to rebound because nobody wants to bet a team that's lost 2 games or 0-2 against the spread. Nobody wants to back them. Everybody's seen Arizona. Well, I like Arizona. I know they killed Tennessee, but guys, did you see what happened? Like, what happens if Minnesota makes that kick at the buzzer and Arizona is 1-1? I would say this spread's probably 6. It's certainly not 7, maybe 6.5. But Arizona got kind of lucky there. And Minnesota's not a very good team. I'm going to probably end up taking the Seahawks. But just to be safe, I'm bringing Arizona down from 7 in the teaser to pick them or 1, whatever you want, a 6 or 7 point teaser. I can't see Arizona losing this game. I can see Jacksonville fighting really hard. Trevor Lawrence having some success against a defense that's not as good as the one that we saw in the opener against Tennessee. A sneaky good teaser team this week is the Eagles against the Cowboys. You know the strategy on teasers, go through the 7 and the 3. Well, if you can bring the Eagles up from 3.5, 4, whatever you're seeing, up to 11, I think that's a really good move, because this is a Dallas defense that Philly should move the ball on. Like, Jalen Hurts will have success. I know all he does is short stuff, but he's going to have success with his feet and with his arm, because we've seen Dallas. Like, folks, they can't stop anybody. The Chargers rolled. Dallas's defense did not force the Chargers to punt last week. Not once. Justin Herbert, up and down the field. I mean, Jalen Hurts is not that good. The offense is not that skilled, but they should have a lot of success. So I would look at the over there, but I definitely have Eagles in a teaser.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
Yeah, I cannot give out a best bet without putting the Denver Broncos in a teaser leg, guys. They're playing my Jets, and we're talking about a spread in Denver at altitude, home opener. I took a peek at the weather. It's going to be high 80s in altitude for the Jets, for a defense that's banged up. Like, 10 is a large number. You know, I don't advocate taking 10 at home here for a Denver team that was, what, favored by 2.5 against the Giants on the road in week 1? Maybe 3? So I would add Denver to a teaser just to be safe. Like, at some point, the Jets will play well. And frankly, their defense has not played that poorly. Remember, Zach Wilson's 4 interceptions had the Patriots knocking on the door practically from the jump last week. And the defense still held firm, and I think they only gave up 26. So this Jets defense is tough, and it's not like, listen, Teddy Two Gloves, cover machine, the 37-14 against the spread, ridiculous as a starter. But again, a lot of those were smaller numbers. A lot of those were in Minnesota, New Orleans, where he's got awesome defenses. And yeah, Denver's defense is good. They're down 2 starters this week, though, FYI. Bradley Chubb, surgery. And then a cornerback is out as well. And then there's one of their linebackers, Jewel, he's injured. So they're really beat up. And Fox pulled up a stat for me that Denver is just 1-4 against the spread in its last 5 games as double-digit home favorites. That's a big number to lay. I do like them to win. It's tough for me to root against my Jets, obviously. And this last number I'm going to throw at you is kind of funny. And it's silly. It's a weird thing. So I'm on a text chain with a couple buddies. One of them just joined Fox doing some gambling stuff. And 4 p.m. underdogs last year were a thing, okay? And in week 1, 4 p.m. underdogs, you know, the games that start at 4 o'clock Eastern, they went 4-0 against the spread. 4 p.m. underdogs in week 2 went 3-1 against the spread. 7-1. Now, I know that doesn't mean a whole heck of a lot. Oh, games at 4 o'clock. It's like primetime underdogs or primetime overs or whatever. Not a huge deal. But the schedule makers make it so that the games at 4 o'clock are usually good ones. This week, we've got the Bucks and Rams, 2-0 versus 2-0. Seahawks, Vikings. I know the Vikings are 0-2, but they are very feisty at home. And Seattle, with a trip east again. Remember, they're in Indy for the opener. So the underdogs at 4 o'clock, if you're scoring at home, are the Dolphins, who I took, the Rams, who opened as favorites, and then the Bucks became favorites, so the Rams are technically underdogs right now. And the other game is Seattle and Minnesota. So if you are into just, you know, the 4 p.m. games, for whatever reason, always end up chaotic. You know, I know that the 1 p.m. games have the witching hour that everybody loves on Red Zone, but there's always some strange chaos at 4 o'clock. We know Seattle's going to be involved in some bizarreness. They always are. I'm almost certain Dolphins, Raiders will. And then you got Rams and Bucks, which should be a good one. I'm kind of leaning toward, this pains me to say, the Packers in Sunday Night Football. They're getting 3. You give me Aaron Rodgers. I know nobody's going to bet them because it's like short week, right? Short week for the Packers. They played on Monday night. Then they got to travel west. Everybody remembers 2 years ago when where Green Bay had to go west and they got smacked twice badly by the Niners. Niners will be able to run on them, but their defense is so beat up that I've got to take points with Aaron Rodgers here. I just absolutely have to do that. I don't know who guards Davante Adams. It feels like the Packers, who everybody was off after the first week, and then, you know, one half, they were not that impressive against Detroit while everybody was awake, and then second half, they wake up, but half the country fell asleep because the game starts so damn late. I think there's some value in the Packers. You guys know I'm fully invested on the Niners to win the Super Bowl. I'm not saying it would pay for a new car for my family, but it would be a very, very, very nice win. And the only other game I'm looking at in the 1 p.m., is Lamar Jackson in Detroit. Ravens coming off a huge win over KC. The problem is, like, if you haven't seen Lamar Jackson, facing him for the first time is extremely challenging. And I don't know that the Lions have seen Lamar yet, and he is going to run roughshod over this Detroit team. I mean, the schemes they're cooking up. I also saw a stat that Lamar Jackson against below 500 teams in his career, something like 16-1. He crushes bad teams. Now, the problem, of course, is I don't like this Ravens defense at all. That's going to be a problem. But it's a big number on the road, so be careful there. I know that's a lot of info. That's a lot of wagers. But what can I say? I love gambling on the NFL. I also took the Patriots. I kind of had to whisper that because nobody likes them this week. I'm missing something on the line because I don't know why on earth this isn't larger. Saints, the injuries, some of the guys are coming back, but this is their third straight road game. You back a team on a third straight road game? Remember, the first game was relocated because of Hurricane Ida to Jacksonville. Then they went to Carolina. They looked fatigued, slow start, destroyed, and now they get to face Bill Belichick, who bottles up not only young quarterbacks, but bad ones. And Jameis Winston falls in that category. So there you have it. I know I didn't touch on Chargers Chiefs. A lot of my LA buddies who listen are really wanting me to take the Chargers. It looks like there was some KC money in the market yesterday. Went up from 6 to 6.5 all week, and then it bumps up to 7. I don't know if that's based on an injury or some kind of release by one of these syndicates, but I would certainly take 7 if I can get it. In Arrowhead, Chiefs should definitely be able to have some success coming off the loss. Andy Reid, you know he's going to be there. But the Chargers offense will move the ball on them. Like, there's no doubt about that. Should be a fun one. I would bet the Chargers are getting 7. All right, guys, have a great weekend. We'll talk to you Monday.